lot of progress, and I tell the team, we better get going or we'll be in this series until the year 2020 or somewhere out there. We've been going kind of slow. But I want to talk to you about something. I'm going to introduce some friends of ours today, some special friends to Gateway. They're part of Gateway. They're part of our team. We're going to talk about what it looks like when Jesus is working to establish his church. Now, last week we made huge progress because we kind of jumped to Acts 13. And you know, today it's going to feel like we're going backwards, because if you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 1. So that's where we are, Acts chapter 1, for just a few moments here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And here's what we're going to read. We're going to read the marching orders given to us by Jesus. It's the Great Commission is recorded here in Acts by Luke. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And here it is. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me where? Everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Let me just tell you how we say it here. Here, there, and everywhere. So Jesus empowers us by his Holy Spirit to be his witnesses here, there, and everywhere. Here is in our local community. And we do a lot, you do a lot to reach our local community. So he's called us to reach our community. He's called us to reach our region. And then he's called us to reach the world and be a part of what he's doing in expanding his kingdom worldwide. If we just did this and we never did anything in our community, we would miss what he's commanded us to do. If the only thing we did was focus on our community like we do, and last year again, you in record numbers, you provide outreach to the community. If that's all we did, but we never did it over here, the everywhere, we would miss what Jesus is telling us to do. These are our marching orders. So here, there, and everywhere. The everywhere for us looks like unreached people groups. Amongst some of the things we're doing, but we believe that God's called us to engage and partner with others in reaching three unreached people groups. The Basque in Basque Country, you're going to hear about that today. The Garhwali people in northern India, and Dave and I are going in January, set that partnership up. And then the Wolof, who live in West Africa. And that partnership is moving ahead. We've been talking about that. Today we're going to talk about reaching the Basque. It's part of our expanding the kingdom everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. Now, the task of reaching an unreached people group is a long task. It's a difficult task. It takes many, many years. I told Dave just a week or two ago, if another pastor were to ask me, you know, should I be involved in an unreached people group? First thing I would say is absolutely yes, but here's what you need to know. Unless there's absolute incredible miracles, it's a slow work. It takes time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of money to reach an unreached people group. But unreached people groups, thank the Lord, are reachable. That's why we do what we do. Unreached people are reachable. And before Brock and Nancy come and give us a new perspective for some of us on what's happening in Basque Country where we're engaged, let me just share with you a story about an unreached people group that was reached. And that's our prayer as we become involved in reaching the Basque. 1957, and some of you may even recognize this name of Jim and Louise Morris. They went over as young missionaries to northern Thailand through the Hudson Taylor Agency. And when they went to northern Thailand to work amongst the Pol Karen people, there were no believers, like zero, put a big zero. There were no believers. 3 years later, 4 years later, a leper lady came to faith. And a few more years later, in 1965, 8 years later, just a handful of believers had come to the Lord. 8 years of work and just a handful of believers had come to the Lord. After 16 years of work amongst the Pol Karen people, Jim Morris was calling it quits. And an old seminary professor and someone who I refer to as in their wisdom years encouraged him. Here's what he said. He said, don't quit now. These unreached people groups take many years to reach. You are just getting ready for a breakthrough. And I've said before, I can't wait for the breakthrough amongst the Basque, because we're going to celebrate. I'm not sure what the celebration is going to look like. I'm not sure what the party is going to look like. But we're going to celebrate when that happens. I believe it's out there. And he goes on, this professor says, I suggest that you redouble your efforts in the area of prayer. Get a solid core of committed prayer warriors to pray for you 24/7. This will bring the breakthrough you're looking for. And so Jim Morris went out and he found those prayer warriors, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and God answered. When they returned to the field, God caused a miracle to happen in their midst, and many came to faith. That was 16 years into their work before a church was finally born. Let me just remind us, in an unreached people group, there is no gathering like this. There are not five people who come together to meet and to worship like this. There's no church at all. 16 years later, God did a miracle and the church was finally born. Miracles begin to happen. The Bible was translated, Bible stories were told and spread, small faith communities began to crop up, and leaders were trained, and this movement began over the years. And Jim and Louise left in 1990 after 33 years of ministry reaching this unreached people group. Do you know that today, that more than 90% of this unreached people group are now followers of Christ, and they're reaching out to others who are unreached? That's an incredible miracle. That's my prayer. That's our prayer, that there'll be that story will be repeated amongst the Basque as we go. Now let me remind us before Brock and Nancy come that Gateway is not a sending church. We're not a sending church. That term is used out there a lot. Let's be a sending church. And I say, no. We are not a sending church. We're a going church. A sending church means that we send Brock and Nancy and go do the work, and then you bring back a missionary report. We're a going church. That means we're all involved. Some of us go physically, some short-term and some long-term, some go. We go by praying, through our prayers, constantly praying. This group of prayer warriors that Jim Morris raised up, we go by praying. We go by giving. We're all a part of the going to Basque Country. You may never step foot physically in Basque Country, but you're part of the team that goes. We're going to hear more about that in the churches. We know it's going to be established amongst Basque Country. Brock and Nancy, come on up here. They're part of the Gateway family. They're part of our ministry team, and I'm so happy that they're here with us today. I believe, by the way, that God honestly now divinely orchestrated this day. Here's the reason why. You know, the Bass students are with us, and so we've been talking about the Bass students. Well, today they're gone because they're at camp. They're at camp. And so it just allows Brock and Nancy, I think, to talk openly and probably share some things that they wouldn't normally be able to do if there were Bass students here. So I'm thankful for that. I believe that's just one way God's kind of organized this day. You're going to hear their story in just a moment. But I do want to tell you that the carpet that that we have here in the auditorium and everywhere here is from their company. They'll tell that story in just a moment. And you can thank Brock and his company for pulling out all the orange carpet that we had for many, many, many years. So, see, miracles never cease to happen. So, Brock and Nancy, so glad that you're here. And at the end of our gathering, we're going to be taking a special offering for them. Now, they didn't know this until I think I told you, Brock, just a couple days ago. But we're going to go through our giving. And everything that you give is going to go to them. We don't keep anything, 0000. So we'll talk more about that. So welcome, and thanks for being a part.
Thanks, Tom. First, I want to introduce my family. Chris, this is my wife, Nancy. And then up here on the screen, our oldest daughter, Isabel, is 15. And then Eva is 11. And our son, Grant, is 13. And Our family has been over in the Basque Country now for 3 years. But before that, for 21 years, we've been a part of this congregation here at Gateway, formerly CMC, and just have so many great relationships. We're proud to be a part of a church that is so missional, that, as Tom says, is a going church. And today, we're going to tell our story. As one of you, we're going to tell our mission story. About 10 years ago, we were sitting right over here in a morning service, and there's a guest speaker named Dave Burdett. And in that service, our life subtly began to shift directions. As Dave talked about Jesus' final words to his disciples, Tom shared Luke's account of it from Acts, but in Matthew, Matthew describes the going up to the top of the mountain and Jesus giving his disciples sort of their final instructions. You've been with me now for 3 years. You've seen everything I've done. Now, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so after you'd shared those words, then Dave talked about the posture that we should take in our lives to seek to know how we can best serve God and be a part of what he's doing. And he said that posture is bent knees, bending in submission to God and acknowledging that it's God's direction that's going to guide us. And then with eyes lifted up, recognizing that everything we have comes from God. And then the third part of the posture that was probably more difficult for us was open hands, that with their hands out, symbolizing giving our lives and everything we have, our home, our careers, our family's safety, or whatever it is, that we're not clinging to it, like we just can't afford to let this go, but to open our hands and say, God, everything we have is yours. And so that morning after the service, Nancy and I talked and made the decision that we wanted our lives to begin taking a little different course to find ways that we could be more involved in what God was doing, both here and around the world. And at that time in our lives were going phenomenally well. The business we'd started in 1995 was rapidly growing. We were approaching 30 employees at that time in our company, and we had just begun construction of a new building over by Central Market that was going to be the home of our store, and that we had a great family, 3 kids, and were involved in a church and community that we absolutely loved. Like, life couldn't have got much better, but at the same time, we were seeking to know, God, what do you have next for our lives?
So the first step that we decided to take, we heard that there was a perspectives course being offered in the church. Well, I don't know if you guys have heard about perspectives. We hadn't, but we are so glad we took it, and we highly recommend it for every Christian. It's basically a discipleship course that teaches about God's purpose and what he's done through history to build his kingdom. And I don't know about you, but before that, when we prayed, we said, hey, God, you know, show us what your will is for our lives. And there was a huge paradigm shift, because in perspectives, we learned it's not even about us. It's about him. And so we started praying, Lord, help us to know you and see where you're working and how we can join you in where you're working. And so that got us really excited. Over the next couple of years, we started praying, Lord, show us where you're working and how we can join you. So we had heard about the Basque program in the church here, and we decided to go ahead and open up our home as a host family. And for 3 summers, we hosted a Basque student during the month of July. This was awesome, because it introduced our family to missions, to an unreached people group in our home. Like, how easy is that? It helped our kids get to know a different culture. It helped us understand that there are people out there who still have never heard that God loves them. So that was phenomenal. The second thing we did, Brock, like you said, we had 30 employees, but Brock really felt like God was laying on his heart to learn Spanish. We had no idea we'd be going to a Spanish-speaking country someday, but we followed that leading, and we went to Costa Rica for a couple months, learned Spanish there. We were basically doing whatever it took to keep following this path that God had us on. So In 2009, the economic recession began, and the prosperity that our company had experienced over the previous 12 years began to change. So within 2 years, we lost everything. We lost our home, we lost our business, and we lost our commercial property that we had built. And we remember that day where we said goodbye to our employees and told them it was finished, and there were tears. There's so much sadness because for 15 years we built this, and it was our dream, and it was this family of employees that we had worked with. We loved our community that we interacted with on a daily basis, and it was the end of that season in our life, the end of a dream. But the next morning we woke up, and God distinctly spoke to our hearts and said, you know what? I'm as much in control right now as I was when your business is doing good. And in fact, you're in my plan. So we realized, okay, for the past 2 years, we've been going like this. We've been saying, God, whatever we have is yours. And now it was time to put action to our words.
And so as we kept looking for what we were gonna do next, we finally narrowed things down to the Basque people and to a desire to go to the Basque country. A lot of you are familiar with the Basque people and the Basque country because our church is involved in ministry there. But for those of you that aren't, the Basque country is located in southern France and northern Spain along the Bay of Biscay. And it's at the base of the Pyrenees Mountains and has been there for thousands of years. It's a very old people group. Some anthropologists say they're one of the oldest people groups in Europe. And during their time there, they've survived conquests from, like, the Vikings coming down from the north came all the way down and stopped at the Pyrenees and left the Basque people alone. The Romans came west and moved north through Spain and got up to the foothills of the Pyrenees and left the Basque people alone. And then from the mid-30s until the mid-70s, the dictator in Spain, Franco, persecuted the Basque people a lot. He had many Basque people killed and outlawed the teaching and even speaking of the Basque language. And all of this that he did was in the name of Christianity, of Franco's Christianity. And so now the result of that sort of persecution that they suffered at the hand of their own government is that now you'll see signs like this in the Basque country. You're not in Spain or in France, you're in the Basque country. Even though they're located in the political countries of Spain and France, they see themselves as a separate people group in a separate country. And outfalling of that persecution is that the Basque people want virtually nothing to do with Christianity because of all this persecution that was done in the name of a Catholic government or the Christian government in their country. And now, as time passes and people maybe forget the memories of the persecution, the reasons behind it may change, but the result hasn't changed. There are virtually no Christians among the Basque people. The Pioneers, one of the mission organizations, estimates there are somewhere between 50 and 100 Christ followers scattered among the Basque people. And there is no Basque-speaking evangelical church that exists. And so then that leads to the question a lot of people will ask, why doesn't someone start a church in Basque country? And this is where it gets a little more complicated because of who the Basque people are. There have been churches started in the Basque country. There have been organizations or denominations that have went there and secured a facility and got a Spanish-speaking pastor that has a love for the Basque people to start a church. The problem is that in the Basque country, like all the rest of the world, there's immigration in and stuff. It's not a pure, although it's more pure than most parts of the world, there's still a lot of immigrants that live there. When they start a church, those immigrants are who go to the church. People from all over, especially from South America that live there because it's a Spanish-speaking country also, will fill the church. As soon as the church becomes filled with non-Basque people, Basque people would not ever go to a church that's a non-Basque church because through their history, they fought so hard to preserve who they are as Basque people. And have not wanted to be watered down like what Franco wanted to do and get them to merge in with the rest of Spain. So they wouldn't attend that sort of church. And so the challenge is a big one. The Basque people are also a very closed people that aren't open to relationships, just come and go, relationships with people. Their traditional mission efforts have had a very tough time there. There's a story of one missionary that was there 20 years, and it said at the end of the 20 years, he never once was inside a Basque person's home. And that's the kind of way that they keep people out. But there is hope.
Yeah, like Tom said, they're unreached, but they're not unreachable. So we've realized that, you know, Africa, they need their wells, and India, they have their things. But what we see in Basque country is that they value English. They need the advantage in the international business world through fluency in English. So what we can provide them is natural to us. It's English. And they also have a high cultural value on friendships. It's the very core and center of their whole culture. So they're called quadria groups, but this friendship is a core that goes so deep. So we figure, hey, why not offer them both, friendship and English? So we do something called business as missions. This is just a missional strategy to reach people who are otherwise closed to church planting movements or missionaries who would just go in and hand out tracts in places that are opposed to traditional missionary types of endeavors. So we do business as missions. They're a very high-functioning, very productive society, and they really value good business. And again, God put in our skill set business, so this is natural for us. So God's just using who we are as natural people doing his work over there. So we have an office in Donosti, which is one of the largest cities in Basque Country. We have, every year we employ university interns. They're Basque University interns, and we figure that's one way that we can, through our daily work, get to build relationships and share our faith in Jesus. Every day we work there 10 to 7, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we offer programs to develop your English. So we do a summer program this year, this month. In America, we have 150 students who have come to live in Christian homes. We put them strategically in Christian homes so that they can begin to experience the love of Jesus. They go to church just like Gateway. Gateway has 10 Basque students within your group this month. We put them in Young Life Camp, which is where they'll hear the gospel for the first time. All of this, they believe it's for English. We know it's for a missional purpose. We want them to be introduced to the God that loves them. So they come all the way over here, but what happens when they go back? Well, that's why we have our office. So as you see in that lower picture there, we plan events where we can continue on the relationship that was started here and try to continue developing that relationship so we can share Jesus with them. So we did, this particular picture was, we said, hey guys, what do you want to do? Well, they wanted to put on a formal Christmas dinner. They thought it'd be cool to dress up. So we said, you guys plan it and organize it and we'll do it. So we all worked together and they made all of the decorations. We rented a place in a hotel, one of the conference rooms, and it was a blast. And so it's things like that that we are every day interacting with our community around us. We also offer English conversations and adults come. Last 6 months, we had three people from this congregation come and help us for 6 months in these English conversations, and it's phenomenal. When you meet with people on a regular basis, you begin to develop a level of trust, in which case you share your faith and they start asking questions. Questions that they can't ask to anyone else because religion is a taboo topic there. You do not talk about it and you don't believe in God. So to have the foreigner who's a little crazy anyways and you know they're safe, then you get to ask them questions, and it's really neat to see what God does. So we believe the gospel message is going to happen in Basque Country through relationships. That's what we're all about. Our missional goal is to develop a group of people who are interested in knowing more about Jesus that we can disciple. That's our passion. That's what we want. And we know that through them, they can be the disciples for their group, and that can be the catalyst for a church planting movement in Basque Country. But we see it happening as Jesus did. He started with his 12, and it began the church. And I really think in Basque Country, where they're not just going to flock to a church just because you have the doors open, but they do value the relationships, and so that's what we really work hard at doing.
And because of summer in the USA and having children in schools and doing sports. God's blessed us with a ton of relationships with Bass people. We're constantly having Bass people into our homes for dinner, or the kids are having friends over to bake cookies for school, or all kinds of different ways we're interacting with the Bass people, which we love because it gives us a chance to talk about our faith and the hope that we have, and just to constantly share the love of Christ with them. And one particular story of this is the kids have a tutor that comes to our house on Mondays and Wednesdays to after school to practice Spanish with them, because continually improving their Spanish is an important element for them in Spanish school, obviously. And Olaya, after she finishes, then spends time visiting with Nancy, and Nancy's had a lot of chance to share with her about struggles that Olaya's having or that we face or whatever. And at one point, Olaya had told Nancy, I can't believe in God because of the things I've went through in my life and the pain I've seen in my life, and I just can't believe in God. And yet we continue to talk and have a good relationship with her. One day, when Nancy came home from work, and Olaya was supposed to have been there working with the kids, but was gone, Nancy asked the kids, "What happened to Olaya?" And they said, while she was there, she'd received a phone call, and then quickly hurried out and left, and they had no idea where she went or what happened. And so Nancy sent her a text message just saying, "You know, the kids told me you had to leave early. Is everything okay?" And Olaya sent back and said that her father had just committed suicide. And that was, they notified her via that phone call while she's at her house. So Nancy texted back and said, "Is there anything we can do for you?" And she said, "You can pray." So the message is getting through, and Olaya sees something different. To continue that story, her father's funeral is Friday night, and so Nancy and I went to the funeral and hung around afterwards and went up and talked to Olaya after everyone cleared out and just said, let her know that we have been praying and we'll continue to pray. And then Nancy said, you know, this is on Friday night, so Nancy said, don't worry about coming on Monday, you know, just let us know when you're ready to come back to our house. And Olaya said, well, I don't want to do most things in life right now because I just can't. But she said, I want to go to your home because I feel something different when I'm there. Stories like that are what help us know that what we're doing is making a difference in their lives, even though, like we said, they're not, they're not lining up to be baptized at this point. But we believe that God, that the moment's coming, and God is doing a work. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do." And it's for us, it's so exciting and so cool that to see that for the last 20 years, the way that God has been preparing us for this moment to be in Basque Country, we thought, you know, we'd be successful business people all our lives, and that's what we'd be doing. But God had other plans, and yet all the things that we'd done, thinking we're on the business path, was ways that God had prepared us to be involved in the Basque Country and to be forming meaningful relationships because of who we are, because of our path with people in a people group that have less than 0.1% following Christ, and that's exciting to us.
So I have to say, I love Pastor Tom because he gets the picture of the unreached people groups and the long-term commitment. Like you said, it's really true. A long-term commitment is something that you just really, you invest everything you have and believe that one day God is going to accomplish what he has started. He is going to finish that product. And like you said last service, the word never returns void. And I count on that verse all the time, because over the past 20 years that Summer in the USA has been bringing students to America to live in Christian homes, over 1,000 students have been placed in Christian homes. And they have heard the love of God. They have experienced the love of God. And that's not going to return void. So you might ask, how can we help? How can we be part of the mission? Like Tom said, everyone in this church is part of the mission. You guys are part of the story. So the number one thing is prayer. Prayer is what made the difference in the Morris story. Prayer is what will make the difference in the Bass story. It's not the Bakers. It's not somewhere in the USA. It's prayer. And I heard that you guys read Born for Battle this past year, and we read it in Bass Country, and it's so accurate in that it says it is our number one tool God has given his people to fight that spiritual battle. And it is a spiritual battle. When you go to Bass Country, it's like this wall that these people who otherwise love you, but when you start talking about God, like one of my best friends, Rosanna, she's like, I love you, Nancy, but I don't want to hear about your God, and I don't want to, and you know what? That's the spiritual battle, and that's where it's got to be fought, is in the heavenlies, and we're there, prepared, ready to be God's witnesses, but it's the spiritual battle. So you guys can pray. Pray for these seeds that have been planted. Pray for disciples to come and come to us, or us to them, that God will help connect us. Pray for our family. Pray for our kids, because, you know, it's really hard for kids to live in a godless society. Our kids are 15, 13, and 11, and there's just not a lot of options, and we so appreciate those prayers. Second, you can give of your time and money. Our program is a year-long program, and we work through churches, and Gateway has been awesome, awesome support. We could, you guys could host students. Every year we have to turn away Basque students who want to come because we don't have enough host families. So if you would open up your home for 3 weeks, the 1 week is camp and then 3 weeks in the family, that'd be awesome. You don't need a ministry background. All you need is love. Love to show them who God is. We think it's, I don't know, we don't even realize the fact that we have so much love from God flowing through us, but they'll see that. The second thing is give. The program needs money. We send the kids to Young Life Camp. We don't charge them for it because we see that as part of the gospel message that we want to share with them. It costs $600 a kid. Giving to that is really appreciated. Also, Brock and I, we raise support. We're regular missionaries, even though we work business as missions. So we're full supported, and we count on and are so appreciative of the generosity of this church, especially. You guys are really generous. Thank you. And finally, teaching. We've just that English conversation piece. If you all want to join us in Bass Country, that would be really cool. It's a 6-month minimum commitment. If you're interested, you can come talk to us. No credentials required. You would just come and practice loving on these people through conversations in English. It's pretty simple. But anyways, we really appreciate that you guys are part of our team. We're the goers over there, but you guys are the people doing this work here, and we couldn't exist without each other. And I don't know, I'm just so grateful to be part of Gateway and part of a team that is really seeking to reach the Basque. So,
amen. Amen. You know, I so remember so clearly that day when your business closed the doors. And I remember calling you guys. I was so upset. And I was calling you to comfort you. And I said, Brock, Nancy, man, they can't do this. How can this happen? They can't do this. And then honestly, that day, I mean, the first words you guys are saying is, look, Tom, it's going to be okay. And I'm going, what do you mean it's going to be okay? Yeah, because we think God's hand is in this thing. And what the enemy meant as a disruption, we've been talking about that. See, God takes that and uses it to build his kingdom as we give our lives to him. Some of us are facing disruptions right now. We're going to pray at the end. But we've heard a story how Jesus takes those things in our life and he turns them toward his purpose of building his kingdom. And that's what you guys have done. So we're going to go this morning, all of us, in two ways. We're going to go by praying, and Dave's going to come, and we're going to pray over Brock and Nancy. We're going to pray as they physically go that these miracles that we've talked about will continue to happen, and there will be a church that will be established. And you guys will come back for the big party because we're going to have a big party, right? And so that's going to happen. We're going to go by praying. We're going to go by giving today. And Brock and Nancy, like I mentioned, did not know this, but I'm going to invite you to give very generously as you leave. The host team will be at the doors. Now, not a dime stays here. No, I don't care how large the offering is. None of it stays here. 100% goes to support the Bakers. And if you'd like to know more about being on their monthly team and you want to go that way, Jen and I are part of their monthly team. If you want to know more, they'll be in the lobby afterwards, or you can just drop a note in the bucket too, and we'll be sure that information gets to them, and you can be a part of going in that way. So David, come on up here, and why don't we stand, and then as Dave leads us in prayer, maybe you can kind of like stretch out an arm, if that's okay, and let's just pray over the bakers here, and then I'll conclude in a prayer in just a few moments.
All right, let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful to know that even though there are people groups in the world that are unreached, they are not unreachable. Your Spirit is omnipotent. You can do anything that you want to do, and we believe that your word says that there will be people from every tribe and nation and tongue gathered around your throne to worship you, and we know there'll be Bass people there. Lord, we pray that there be millions of Bass people there, that there be a church planting movement established that would just reach to the very edges of the Bass community. And Lord, we lift up the bakers. We pray that you would use them to be instrumental in seeing that happen. We pray an anointing on them of power and authority, and that you would give them creative ideas and energy and strength and priorities and all that is needed to do the task you've called them to. Father, we pray, too, that you'd raise up laborers. We beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field in Bass country, that you'd raise up people to join with the bakers, to come alongside them and be part of a team for 6 months, 12 months, or for long term. We just pray that you'd raise up people. Father, we pray a blessing on their family. Pray for their marriage, that you'd protect them from the lies of the enemy, that you'd give them time just to focus on one another. Pray for their kids as they face the godless society in Bass country that is such an influence on so many kids. Pray that they would be a light and not be influenced by the darkness. Thank you so much for the privilege we have in partnering with the bakers. I pray you'd use all of us for your glory, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up in Bass country. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to have a concluding prayer for all of us. Because you may be here, and when we talk about distractions, that maybe they've come into your life. You look at the bakers, you go, man, that really look like that's going well, really successful here. You know, business, 30 employees, but they lost their business, and it was a nice business. They lost their home. But God takes that and reclaims that. And maybe what's distracting you isn't that major. Maybe it's more. But whatever it is, God will take what's going on in your life and reclaim it for his purpose as we just yield our life to him. And what the enemy means for destruction, man, God comes in and reclaims that for his purposes. And so let's just join together, shall we? Father, I pray that over each one of us here today. And some of us maybe walking through these types of things, these distractions, and things haven't gone so well. And God, the enemy has trying to use that to bring us down and to destroy what it is that you want to do in us and through us. But God, this morning, so we've even heard the story again of how you can come in and you want to reclaim all that's taking place, Lord, for your glory so that your kingdom will be expanded. God, we yield our lives to you again, that you would take each one of us, our circumstances and our situations, and use them, Lord, to bring you glory. I thank you for it in Christ's name. And everyone said, amen. Now, next week we'll be in chapter 6. Again, we're going to get to the end someday, but we're in chapter 6 and 7, maybe 7, but 6 for sure next week. So Acts 6, so it's going to be great. So have a great week. Dive into the book of Acts. Don't read it as a historical book. Read it as a book asking how Jesus can use you. Amen. See you next Sunday. God bless you.